Remind all participants this conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. You may begin.
Thank you very much, Kelly. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to everyone on today's Consumer Metrics Project conference call on Tuesday, the 20th of September. We have Steve Del Bianco, Rosemary Sinclair, Wendy Seltzer. Cheryl Langdonor has just disconnected, but redialing back to her. From staff, we have Maggie Serrad, Glenda Saint-Géry, Margie Milam, and myself, Gisela Gruber. I don't have any apologies noted today, and we are certainly and Jonathan Robinson has just joined the call as well. And John Barrett is on the Adobe Connect, so I'm hoping that he'll be joining the call as well. And if I can please just remind you to state your names when speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you. Over to you, Rosemary.
Okay. Welcome, everybody, to our call today. Just a quick reminder from me. I sent around an email. I've got to be on a flight to Hong Kong this morning, so I'll have to finish at 7. I'm happy, of course, if the discussion goes longer than that, but I'll have to bail out at 7. Now, where I thought we were up to is doing work on the measures in the consumer trust area, but I just wondered whether there was anything anyone wanted to say about our previous work before we launch into that discussion.
Rosemary, I wondered if you were able to, it's Jonathan Robinson here, I just wonder if we could chat briefly about the motion and whether that's, I'm not sure if I've checked if it's got a second at this stage, and this issue about whether it's this issue of the cross working group or whether that's been covered on list. I apologize if I've missed something.
No, and I may well have missed a lot too, but I don't think so, Jonathan. I was just talking with Steve about a seconder from the commercial stakeholders group. So that will happen in the next day or so. And I've not just had time to go back to that issue where the point you raised where we had referred to the group as a joint working group in one part and then a GNSO working group in the charter, I think. Have I got that right? When I got to Hong Kong tonight, when I'm not sleeping, I was going to have a look at that then.
Great. If that's really great to know that it's not lost and you're aware of it, Rosemary. That's really it. It's just a question of
yes.
Whether it's in the frame and you know about that. So it won't hijack things anymore on that topic. It's just checking that. So that's
okay.
Really good. Look at it.
Yes.
And see if it seems that there's a lot of sensitivity around. And as you probably know and are aware, I'm trying to get some movement on this whole community working groups thing in a separate working group, but we're struggling for participation and forward movement there. But the issue is whether or not it's okay to get going with a community working group without those GNSO principles being sorted out already. And so that's where the nexus.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Steve, did you want to raise anything from your discussion about the motion?
I wanted to ask Jonathan, based on what he just said. Mm-hmm. Jonathan, do you anticipate someone will ask for a further deferral of Rosemary's motion because of tangential concerns with process?
Steve, I think tangential concerns about process, I'm not sure. The issue is around, as I understand it, the fact that this appears to be a cross-community working group as opposed to a GNSO working group.
Well, the rest of the community has given up on it being a cross-community working group, so it really doesn't matter.
Given that the working group...
This is getting beyond a joke.
Well, as long as everybody commits to working on the working group, even if it is not a cross-community working group.
Well, we have, and we've said this on any number of occasions. The GNSO should put it through in whatever way will work for the GNSO.
I'm feeling like Alice, Cheryl.
Yeah, I bet you are, dear.
Anyway, Jonathan, more seriously, I'll go back and have a look at that point and see what I can do so that we avoid the deferral. It would be good to get this motion through. And I think there is interest in the issues, and if we can deal with the remaining concerns about process, then I think that would be the way forward.
Great. I think so am I, actually. I think you've done a great job of getting things so far, and actually, frankly, I'm more interested in the substance, and there's some interesting substance in here. So thanks a lot.
Okay.
Rosemary, Cheryl here, just finally on that point. One of the reasons many of us notice us is, like people like me from other parts of ICANN, that worked very hard in the reform work group for the GNSO work group proposals and outlines and draft guidelines to ensure that they were, in inverted commas, open for other and wider ICANN participations, is to make all of this a non-issue. So really, it is a non-issue. Or it should be. Anyway, we're here on the edges if you want us to play.
And more importantly, Cheryl, we're here on the call. Okay. All right. So now that we've covered that issue off, and that was good to get the issue about the motion dealt with now, we can go back to the discussion about measures in the area of consumer trust. Now, I'm just wondering if Margie or Gisela could remind me the definition that we're using now after our discussions various. Is that the yellow one, Margie, the highlighted one?
Yes, that's correct. I wanted to make it really easy for us to find the definitions that we're working on, and I didn't want to throw out the prior ones because it's nice to have that history. So focus on the yellow text in the Excel spreadsheet.
That's very helpful. So let me just read that. So where we're at with the definition, consumer trust refers to the confidence registrants and users can have in the consistency of domain name of name resolution from the registrar and registry and the degree of confidence amongst registrants and users that a TLD registry operator is fulfilling its proposed purpose and is complying with ICANN policies and applicable national laws. So our focus for today's discussion is the, and I like this structure, Margie, the last column, it makes it much easier, where we're trying to fill in some metrics and measures against that definition. And I wonder, Wendy, are you okay? Adverse possession of phone lines?
I'm sorry, I was just jokingly referring to the earlier statement that we're on the call.
Sorry, thanks, Wendy. It's a bit early, and I'm just back from the outback of Australia last night, so the brain is not really up to speed just yet. So I wonder, Steve, if you would mind just taking us through your thoughts on this issue just by way of a conversation starter?
Sure. And because I'm traveling today, I'll just list several potential metrics that we can all consider. So these are metrics for consumer trust. So picking up on the beginning of the sentence, the part that that Wendy likes about resolution, I would say that one of the metrics is the percentage of uptime for registrations, both at the registry and designated registrars, and the same percentage uptime for resolutions that go all the way back to the authoritative name server, which is the registry. So percentage of uptime, and that is an element of consistency, but I know Wendy may have you may have other things in mind with respect to consistency, Wendy, and that would be something you would add. I'll go on to say that with respect to the second half of the definition, I would propose metrics as in survey-determined consumer trust in TLDs, and we could pick up on the survey that's being done by the WHOIS review team right now and conduct perhaps an identical survey when this review is done and compare the results.
Mm-hmm.
I also think we should take a look at reports of alleged violations or concluded violations of the proposed registry contract, so that if any TLD operator has been found to or accused of violating its contract, if it's just an accusation, you never want to run with it, but at least we would have an opportunity to investigate that. So the number of violations of contract, and then in pursuant to the very last definition, let's look at things like UDRP and URS violations by the new TLD operators, in a hope that we can compare that to the existing TLD operators, or even just to compare it as a percentage of the total TLDs. And then finally, with respect to applicable national laws, this is really impossible for us to do this, so I think we would throw it on governments and say that our law enforcement agencies and the GAC would be asked to report incidents where they believe one of the new TLDs was either conducive to or looking the other way, where there were violations of their relevant national law. And I'll stop there. Thank you.
Just quickly from me, Rosemary, Steve, all of the measures that you're proposing, although that's not right, the first two measures would require additional work, but on the consumer confidence, the second half, most of the mechanisms, if you like, are already in place. Have I understood that correctly?
I think so, but it's also possible that the first two, the percentage uptime, it's possible those are already statistics that ICANN is keeping in its operational capacity.
Uh-huh. Okay, great. Thanks for that. Now, are there comments on Steve's suggestions or additional thoughts? I see Wendy in the chat.
So this is Wendy. I would like to see measures of domain takedowns pursuant to claims of national law or other claims under UDRP.
Mm-hmm. But that's quite similar then, Wendy, to the suggestion Steve was making? Or is your thought a wider thought?
I understood Steve to be saying the registry's compliance with UDRP, which might mean did they refuse or the registrar's compliance, did they refuse a transfer that was ordered?
Wendy, you're right on. You have this right. I didn't say it very artfully. I think you're exactly on.
Rosemary, can I ask a point of clarification? Because I was a little bit, Steve, with your points, you didn't mention registrars at all. Now Wendy just introduced registrars. Your focus seemed to be entirely on registries. Was that intentional or...
No, not at all. That was a mistake on my part. I tend to focus on the registry operator when it comes to the terms they've proposed for their TLD. Like they might have limited registrants and they might have certain content restrictions or behavioral restrictions. That's the registry part. But when it comes to the registrars, a lot of time that's where we'll look to things like takedowns due to UDRP, violations of law for the registrar, where the registrar didn't follow through when law enforcement asked for information. So I think a lot of the second half of the sentence goes to registrars as well. Thank you.
Cheryl here, Rosemary. Sorry, I'm having a terrible job getting into the Adobe Connect room, so I'm unaware if you've got a number of hands up. Just let me know if I can speak.
Yeah, no, to be honest, Cheryl, I'm not seeing any hands, and we've only got a small group, so I think I'm happy if, you know, people are just jumping in when there's a breath being taken, so go for it.
Okay, I'll jump back in then, Cheryl, for the record. Yeah, I think what we're talking about is just a bit of wordsmithing, certainly from the end-user perspective that I hear in the at-large community. Yes, we would definitely want to know further down into the takedowns, and that is a more meaningful measure of consumer confidence if we're actually getting to the domains. So, yeah, if we can wordsmith something that brings in that metric Wendy articulated, that would be excellent.
So will we, this is John Berard, will we be creating baselines against which we will measure? Will we be adopting existing statistical analysis as baseline? And then how do we adjust for the statistics that hold in essentially mature registries as opposed to the startup registries of the new GTLD program?
Cheryl, here, if I can respond.
Sure.
John, what I think is, of course, as a work group, all we're able to do is make recommendations to ICANN on what they should be measuring. And I think it's absolutely essential that baselines in as many as possible historical contexts, we may have some, but I would think they all need to be articulated and a call for them to be established under current circumstances, which would mean mature registries, need to be there. Now, how much measure we put on variation from those baselines is probably a matter for another analysis group, because there would be, I think, considerable debate and indeed error and fault, perhaps even omission, if we simply measure statistics that come from mature GTLD spaces and emerging ones. I'm not sure all of those analysis on all of the metrics will be as accurate in what we might be interpreting from them. But if a review team, and this is effectively what we're talking about, on the effects of a new GTLD doesn't have baseline metrics to work from, or for a new GTLB program, doesn't have baseline metrics from work to work from, that's a huge fault. And I think what this work group's being asked to do is not only establish the particular line entries that we think metrics should be taken from, but also pretty much insist that if it's going to be done properly, that we have some baselines done, and if they're not already in statistics selected for and collected, well, then they need to be.
Rosemary here. John makes a good point, and it's raised the question in my mind whether the next phase for our discussions in this work group, once we've identified, I suppose, in a preliminary way, the sorts of metrics that we think might give us the information we need, could we ask ICANN staff to then actually source for us the existing reporting of these metrics and bring them back to our work group so that we can actually have a look at the numbers and the way they're reported, and start to just really assess whether what we're proposing is workable. Firstly, just in a very practical sense, is it workable? And then secondly, in a more conceptual sense, is it actually measuring what we want to measure, and can that measurement or can that information be translated, migrated, morphed, whatever the word, from the existing TLD space into the new TLD space, because that, of course, is our focus, new GTLDs 12 months after they are introduced. Are there any thoughts about that?
Steve Del Bianco, if you don't mind.
Yes, Steve.
John asks really good questions about how these actual values that are measured will be compared to either prior or to other elements of the population. But if we can assure ourselves that the metrics are available, which is what Rosemary asked about. It'll really be up to the review team to assess a lot of that. We don't want to tie the hands of the affirmation required review team that the board and the GAC will appoint a long time from now. You know, we're trying to seed this thing with lots of metrics that we know can be obtained that we think fit with the definitions that we've proposed.
Yes.
So whenever possible, I mean, we could potentially say that something like this, that the resolution, the registry should be available to perform resolutions at least 99.99% of the time. And we may have gotten that number because we compared it to the GTLDs over the past 2 or 3 years. And we might suggest that as a metric. Thank you.
Okay. Margie, did you want to come in now?
Yes, that would be great. This is Margie. So as I hear you, you're asking for us as staff to let you know what kind of metrics we currently use to evaluate the existing registries and to comment on the metrics that are discussed now to see whether there's any problems or that we see initially. Is that the request? I'm just trying to make sure I've got it right.
Yep. Rosemary here. That was my initial thought, but in fact it's not as broad as everything ICANN is measuring at the moment. It's whether for the measures that we're proposing there are existing mechanisms to measure those things. That's the first point. And the second just comes from the discussion that Steve was just leading about where the boundary of the work of this work group finishes compared to when the work of the review team starts. And I think where we're getting to is a point that says our work is finished when we see what metrics are available, rather than getting into the second stage, which is to assess the validity of those metrics to measure the things that we're supposed to be measuring 12 months after the intro of the new GTLD program. Have I got that right, everybody?
Rosemary, it's Steve. Let's check the resolution from Bruce Tonkin, the resolution passed in Cartagena, which is at the top of the document. I don't have it in front of me right now because I'm standing in line. Did that resolution also ask for advice on potential measures and values? And if it did, it would be another option we'd pursue for things where we thought it made sense. That's why I gave the example of the 99.99 on resolution uptime.
Yep. Steve, Cheryl, yes, it does. To quote, it says, on establishing the definition, measures, and three-year targets of those measures for competition, consumer trust, and consumer choice in the context of the domain name system.
Thank you. But we're not there yet. We're just at the
beginning.
That past definitions, getting into what the measures could be. I guess we should use the word measures to be the descriptions of things that can be measured. And we'll reserve the word metrics for when we actually assign values and targets.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay, so now let me get clear on this. So our work includes the definition, identifying the measures, looking at sources for measuring those measures, and then identifying metrics for those measures.
And three-year targets.
So that, I think, includes in our scope an assessment of whether what we're doing now is relevant as is or relevant as modified for the new environment.
I agree.
Hi, Jonathan. Okay, anyone, any other thoughts on that? So. And, of course, we're not fixing this now. We're really just exploring these issues as they come up. All right. Well, let's just perhaps hold that for the minute and press on with our discussion about the actual measures for consumer trust. Are there any additional thoughts that anyone has had on those, the measures that we've proposed so far? If not...
Who is going to wordsmith to ensure the takedown issues and what happens at the domain end is incorporated? And just, I'm not saying we should wordsmith... Sorry, Cheryl here for the record. I'm not saying we need to wordsmith it now. I just want to know who's going to own that activity.
We've got in that window in our Adobe Connect a series of things that could, I think, be turned into dot points or different measures.
Sure.
And the domain takedowns is listed in there. So perhaps if everyone could just have a look at Margie's notes in that window.
Mm-hmm. This is the far right.
And Margie, I can't see the notes. This is Steve. But you have a sense for the kinds of values we want to assess in the new GTLD program, both with respect to the register operator and the registrars. But I do rely on you for the right vocabulary and wordsmithing the actual phrases. So there are things that ICANN staff knows, and in some cases at least, stuff that ICANN already measures. Thank you.
Margie Rosemary, are you happy to take that on board?
Yes, I will work with staff. It's too bad and Michael's not on the call today. We do have Maggie on, but I don't know if she's familiar, has information on what kind of things compliance looks at. But we'll look at it from from staff perspective as to what things are out there, how we phrase them. So if we're talking about something similar, we'll hopefully use the same language, and we'll do that at the next meeting.
Outstanding.
Fantastic. Margie, can I ask a question of you?
Sure.
Thank you. Just in some of the other work groups I've been involved in talking to the registry operators, there's a difference between the metrics collected and the metrics available.
Okay.
And it might be interesting for us just to put a pin in the board to say we might need to talk not just to ICANN compliance, who are going to tell us, and staff who are going to advise us on what is collected, but we might also need to make an inquiry, which will probably fall to you to do, of course, directly with the registry operators to see whether there is anything of value for our work group's tasks in the what is available as opposed to what is collected. Because, it'd be nice to know how meaningful and achievable some of our measures are actually, and they may not be additional work. It may be something as simple as, ticking a box to make it actually be collectible at the ICANN end of the spectrum.
If I may reply, I think on the registry side, we do have Jonathan, for example, and I don't know who else from the registry stakeholder group that might be able to shed light on some of those issues.
Unfortunately, Jonathan's just dropped off, so he's had to leave the call.
Okay, but I think they have fairly weekly meetings, if I'm not mistaken, and it might be easy to task him with going back to his group and saying, is there some information to share there?
Margie, our conversation needs to be more mature before that happens. So I'm just saying we need to put a little pin in the wall to make sure we come back to it.
Okay, I think that's right.
And in the meantime, we could ask Jonathan as a member of our group to have a look at this question and give us some preliminary feedback. Wendy, I'm just not understanding the point you're making in the chat. Would you mind just explaining it?
I'm adding a correction to the notes in the if that's transcribing what I was saying, that should be related to claims of national law or under national law rather than claims of nationals.
Right. Yes. So it's related to claims of national law or other claims, UDRP in brackets. Thanks. So we're going to get Margie to just check this in terms of ICANN language and ICANN existing processes. And the point that I wanted to make was that at the moment what we're trying to do is understand what is currently being collected, and then we can ask ourselves whether that suits our purpose. So that's the background to that, Margie, that we're really wanting to work with existing information and existing processes as much as possible. And then after we've assured ourselves of what's available now within the current context, then we can have a look to see whether we need new information and new processes. So that's the purpose of having a look at what of the things we're proposing at the moment are being measured now by ICANN processes one way or another. Okay. Is any more on consumer trust for this morning? If not, we could have a little go at the next definition, which was choice. Now, where do I look, Margie, for our current definition on choice, consumer choice, if it's consumer trust? 4.3. Is everybody happy if we start the conversation on consumer choice?
Yep.
Okay.
And if we spend a little bit of time on this, then just before we finish, I'd like to just revisit our timetable of activities heading into the Dakar ICANN meeting. So let me just read this. Consumer choice is evident in the range of options available to registrants and users for domain scripts and languages, and for TLDs that offer choices as to the proposed purpose and integrity of their domain name registrants. That's all one word. Okay. And again, Steve, would you mind just leading off with your thoughts on the measures for this definition?
I'll let someone else take the lead. I'm in line to get my passport checked. I'll be back in a few minutes.
I tell you what, Rosemary, it's lucky it's not like in Australia where we're not allowed to be on our phones while we're in those spaces.
I know.
Shh, not so loud.
Okay, Steve, sorry.
Uh-oh.
We're going to hear Steve get arrested, which is really sad.
Oh, careful what you might be wishing for, Cheryl.
No, I don't wish that to happen, heavens above, no.
Okay, so why don't I have a little stab at this? Because this, to me, is the kind of matching bookend for the competition definition and set of measures. To me, that definition is a supply side, if you like, snapshot of this market that we're looking at, which is new GTLDs. 4.3 takes us back onto the demand side, where we actually look at things from the point of view of the registrants and users. We've got domain names and scripts, so I guess increasing numbers of those is one measure that we can look at. And in regard to the TLDs, we'll have to look at these as they come on board to see whether, by comparison to the existing operators, the new GTLD operators are offering choices in purpose and integrity, using the examples that we've used so many times before of DocBank. So are there any thoughts on this consumer choice set of measures?
I can only be honest for a moment, and I might suggest measure the quantity of TLDs that are non-generic. Com and net is non-generic. But let's say that at the end of the year, we would hope So what we've seen is in the root, lots of special purpose TLDs, because that's the element of choice we keep promising, choice and innovation. And those co-designative communities stop there, because that's a rather formal definition. There may well be communities of TLDs to be
applicable. Steve Rosemary here. I'm the call's breaking up where I am. Are others hearing Steve clearly?
No.
No. Okay.
All right. I'll have to continue writing then, because at this point I'm in security plan. I won't burden you. I'll get off now. So thanks, everyone.
All right. We'll pick
thanks,
that up
Steve.
Next
Bye.
Time. Thanks, Steve. Yeah. Okay. Well, are there any other thoughts from anybody on the call? Because we can pick, pardon me, pick Steve's suggestions up at the beginning of our next call.
Sure, Wendy here.
Yes, Wendy.
I would suggest that the choice of jurisdictions to which registrants would be subject is a useful measure, so that the number of different jurisdictions in which registries and registrars are based, and therefore the national laws to which registrants are subject.
Thanks, Wendy. Has there any work come that, because I know ALAC was doing quite a bit of work on consumer confidence and choice. Would any of that be relevant in this area?
Look, it may be, Cheryl, here for the record, it may be, Rosemary, but I just want to make sure that we don't drift from the activities of this work group, which is really more definitional and less analytical.
Yes.
Yes. And obviously, I think the ongoing work in the ACs, as I would suggest, almost as opposed to the SOs, would be with the use of this the advice we will be giving to ICANN, and then what will feed into the baseline material for the review team to utilise. It's almost as if that work will need to continue the analytics and the concerns and informational stuff that ALAC and at large has been doing, and obviously other constituency parts of GNSO as well, bringing their own concerns and vested interests to the table. It's probably going to come more into play as that review team operates and as we comment on their sets of advices and assumptions and what they're discovering.
Okay.
That's not to say it's not related. I think it is related. I just don't think it's actually the focus of this work group.
No. So perhaps if you could just take that on board for us to just think whether there's any issue that ALAC has in that work been thinking about which might be relevant to our work when we're thinking about the sorts of things that need to be measured to assure ourselves that the new GTLDs are promoting, in this instance, consumer choice.
To some extent, Rosemary, it could be, and I think it is a topic for another call, and probably several ongoing revisits as we mature this conversation, almost a subset of what Wendy was just proposing. And that is where I think a lot of the, just thinking back on the confusion, and I don't mean confusability, and the confusion that then leads to lack of trust and therefore consumer concern is often based on the current marketplace, the lack of understanding between what a domain name registrant understands about their national laws and regulations and those where their registry operator is and what they're subject to. So there is, I think, a very clear nexus there. So it's very likely to be a sort of almost a subset of analysis of the measure that that Wendy was just proposing.
Yep.
And it may be within those three-year targets that we will eventually get to that we might expect to see some sort of shifting along a continuum of either more confidence because people understand better what subject and rule of law they are operating under, or indeed more choice because the GTLDs that are coming out are allowing people to operate in more than just a limited number of rules of law.
Mm-hmm.
And I put that very clumsily, but I hope you understand where I was coming from.
Well, I find with these discussions, the first time you come at these concepts, the way we all articulate them is a bit cloudy, if not clumsy. Certainly that's the case for me. But as we go through, things seem to clarify quite quickly. The other body of work that, again, in this kind of thought bubble or cloudy way that I'm thinking about in terms of its relevance in the ICANN space is the work that's been done in the telco space, and I say this with hesitation, but the work that's been done in the telco space in ensuring that consumer choice is effective, there's the notion has developed in the telco space of the confusopoly. So you go from a monopoly to a duopoly to a confusopoly, where the approach from some suppliers is to be deliberately confusing about the offer so
come
that the consumer is not in a position to actually make an effective choice in terms of what they're really trying to do. So how we capture some of that responsibility for good, clear information. It's one thing to have a TLD with a particular purpose. It's another matter as to whether that purpose is being described in language that enables a consumer to make an informed and effective choice and therefore to put some demand-side pressure to ensure that the market is truly competitive. So I'm just thinking through all that at the moment.
Yeah, I'd like to hear what others say on that, but my knee-jerk reaction to that is I don't see why that could not be a measure, a proposed measure. There is an ability and indeed, third-party people, third-party organisations and consultants whose reason for existence is to look at the methods that the telco industry certainly used to confuse us, but to take a set of language in a term and condition or whatever, and see exactly how humanly readable it is. And I'm just thinking about the PhD student who's recently taken what was it, some huge number of pages in a TNA, I think, out of Facebook, anyway, it was some social networking thingy, and took it to 375 clear and understandable words, which is making a big difference to youth understanding what we're actually buying into. So, I mean, there are people out there whose reasons for living is, or making a living, perhaps not living themselves, but making a living is to take a piece of text or advice or contract information and see how readable and understandable it is. And I would think that could be done in any number of languages as well. So I don't see that can't be a measure we look at.
Okay, thanks. Wendy, did you want to come into this conversation? I saw hands up.
Yeah, I wanted, I think that your suggestion of the clarity or transparency of various offerings is a useful measure.
Mm-hmm. And is there anything in the applicant guidebook that goes to this issue about the transparency and clarity of offers or communications with registrants, I guess. Is there anything there? Not? All right. Well, perhaps, Margie, if you could just note down transparency and clarity, and that that'll at least remind us of what we were talking about. Now, we've got about 10 minutes, so if there are any other thoughts for the minute on the consumer choice definition, let's take those. I will look at the notes, Margie, thank you. And otherwise, I think we should just have a little chat about timing on the road to Dakar. Margie, do you want to just make a quick contribution?
Just back on the, I did take the notes of the transparency and clarity of offerings, but yeah. I have no idea how that would be measured. I'm guilty of being a lawyer that likes lots of words. I really appreciate how difficult people like me make things for the class.
Margie, there's a bunch of consumer and end user advocates out there in the other part of the world that is not called law, who can look at the wonderful words of wisdom that you people put together, and go to half a dozen selected end users that represent the group that you believe you're trying to pitch this to, and ask them, do they understand it, and do a Q&A and a whole bunch of actual statistical measures that can give things. It's a bit like doing reader age and understandability on text, but there is actually a science out there now that is doing that.
Okay, great. Thanks for the clarity, because I wasn't aware of that, but it sounds like there is a lot of...
It's fairly new, Margie, and I think it's going to become, because of the confusopoly that you heard Rosemary talk about, it's going to become more common, and that could be very useful from an ICAM point of view. That said, it's predominantly in Western and English language cultures.
Great. Thanks for the clarity.
The other thing that I am concerned about is with our measure of consumer choice is that we need to perhaps suggest looking at a measure, and again, this would be another meeting's worth of several meetings perhaps of this discussion. There's the choice for those that are already in predominantly well-served areas, they're the ones who are already registrants who are already connected to the .com, .net and other existing GTLDs versus those who are not at this stage given that opportunity, be it, and this will bring us into the IDNs and the other languages, and of course the not yet connected or the connected through mobile technologies point of view. So I just would like to, again, put another pin in the board to see whether we can come back for some sort of measure discussion on new registrants as opposed to more choice for existing registrant puddles.
Yep.
Maybe they're oceans, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, that's another important distinction that we keep in mind, new registrants versus...
Yeah, how many Burmese farmers are registrants now versus in 3 years' time?
All right, now we've got 5 minutes, so can we just focus for the minute on the Dakar meeting? We've said that in our motion, which Pollyanna Mee hopes passes GNSO Council, that we will have an interim report, and I guess this is probably a question for you, Margie. Do you think we'll be in shape to have that interim report for the Dakar meeting, based, of course, on our conversations and these conference calls, but just in terms of your timing, will you be able to pull together something that we could see as our interim report?
Rosemary, I believe on the charter you mentioned an update, a status update, and wasn't pending a formal report. And so I just want to clarify, are you still talking about a status update, which theoretically could be, PowerPoint slides that talks about these things? That certainly is achievable. Writing a full interim report.
No. That's a bigger deal.
I am talking about a status update. Sorry, I'm always confusing everyone with my bad use of terms. I'm talking about a status update, which I think, is a set of PowerPoint slides reflecting our spreadsheet, really. But again, just making sure that that's okay in terms of your workload.
Yes, yeah, that's fully achievable. I was going to have a heart attack if you wanted me to write a report.
Sorry about that. And the second thing, just to check that we have some time allocated for our discussion.
Are you thinking about with respect to the weekend session or the council session or a separate session? I did put in a meeting request for a separate session. I don't know yet whether it's been granted and what time it will be, but that certainly has been requested.
Okay. We probably need to have a short time in the council meeting to just update everybody on where we're at, and then we're waiting for the timing of the or response to the meeting request. Is there anything else that we should be thinking about at this point in regard to the Dakar meeting?
Rosemary Cheryl here.
Yeah.
I understand the update to council. That's something that work groups do quite regularly, even if they're not just formed at the time. You know, if Pollyanna is disappointed, it would be nice for you to take the floor and at least bring everyone up to speed on the work that is going on, despite the lack of charter, if that's the case. Let's hope it's not. But that's one thing, and that's fine. But is the meeting space that Margie's talking about a meeting for us to gather together and navel gaze across a table, or is it an interaction with wider ICANN community? Because if it's an interaction with any of the wider ICANN community, then we probably need to take the opportunity of expanding the slide deck from your update, notice that your update to council, into something that might pose some questions and discussions and get some even small work group or feedback, and actually, dare I suggest, ask the consumers and ask the industry what they think of where we're going.
That's a really good idea, Cheryl, and it would, I mean, I had in my mind a continuation of the discussion that we started in Cartagena and last time in Singapore, where we had a workshop on consumer issues. So I saw it in that open format, hoping that the people who were interested last time would, you know, come back into the room, into the conversation. So I think your idea of a bit of an update, but then getting a broader set of people involved is a terrific idea.
But there's a difference between people being talked at and a conversation with people.
And definitely I'm hoping we're all focused on having a conversation with as many people who want to be part of it.
Yeah. So I'm just thinking, depending on what time and space is allocated and our ability to pull it together, it might be more interesting. It might be worthwhile to take it from the information being shared into information being discussed. That will require a slightly different format, but it's something that I believe is probably doable.
That's a great suggestion, and definitely the direction we should head.
So I did put in the request for Wednesday. I think it's Wednesday in Senegal. So I don't remember. I don't have the exact time. I think it was before. It was intended to be before the GNSO council meeting. So that's the time that I requested. Whether we get that is, you know, a separate thing. And my description talked about it as a working group meeting because I thought that's what we were envisioning. But I can always update the description to make it broader. And certainly the slide deck can be modified for that purpose as well, to make it more of a conversation with questions for the participants to consider.
Okay, well, I think that would be good because I think we've built the interest and numbers of people popping into our consumer workshops.
Yep.
So if we position it as one more in that series, then hopefully we'll get all those folks back and a few more. And as Cheryl said, some good input and ideas for our ongoing discussion. Great. All right, we're right on 7. So any last-minute thoughts? If not, then we'll reconvene in 2 weeks' time.
Thanks, Rosemary. Travel well. Travel safe. When are you back?
On Monday morning, 6 a.m. You know what it's like.
Oh, I know. They're coming into Sydney business. Sure do. Okay. Talk to you later. Oh, Rosemary, sorry, just before you go. When are you flying down to Melbourne for outer? You're down Sunday. I know that.
Yes, I am. I think about 4 o'clock, Cheryl.
Okay,
I'll check and let you know.
Yeah, let me know, because if we're on the same flight, then we can share a car, and I'm going down as well, so we might need to just adjust our flights to be on the same flight, that's all.
Okay, terrific, lovely.
Bye, travel safe. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. Bye.